Welcome to the Plant Spirit Podcast on connecting with plant consciousness and the healing wisdom of nature. I'm your host, Sarah Artemisia, and I am deeply honored to introduce our next guest to the show today. Robin Rose Bennett is an incredible herbalist, storyteller, and writer. She's been offering classes in Wise Woman Healing Ways since 1986, and she's on the faculty of the New York Open Center and the Arborvitae School of Traditional Herbalism. Robin Rose shares herbal medicine with gratitude for the loving generosity of the plants and the magic, mystery, and beauty of the web of life. Robin Rose is also the author of two meditations and two books, Healing Magic and The Gift of Healing Herbs, and the soon-to-be-published A Green Witch's Pocketbook of Wisdom, Big Little Life Tips. So Robin Rose, thank you so much for being here. Such an honor to have you here.
Now, it's always a deep pleasure and honor to be with you, Sarah Artemisia.
Oh, thank you so much, so much. I love your work and connection with the plants. And if you're open to it, would love to start today with hearing a passage from your soon-to-be-published book, A Green Witch's Pocketbook of Wisdom.
I love to do that. And, you know, I could choose something, or what I love to do, and I love to do this in general, not just with this book, but I do it with this book of mine, is open and just see what it opens to, what spirit has. And it was only fairly recently that I actually learned that there's a word for that, and it's called bibliomancy. Did you know that? Did you know that word?
I've never heard of that before. I love it.
I love it too. So yes, let's do a little moment of bibliomancy, and I'm reaching into the book. It's not even bound yet, so I'm just going to rifle through the pages and see what it opened to. Oh, wow. It opened to, this is cool. Nothing. Okay. So let me just describe for listeners. It's like a 4x6 pocketbook. One side is an illustration and the other side is like a line. And then under the one line on each page is a little bit of explanation. So here's the page I opened to. The image is a kind of woman's face and every woman, and it's framed by a spray of rosemary. And the wisdom is, nothing is a distraction from your life or keeping you from your life. It is all your life, moment to precious moment. And the kind of little explanatory paragraph is, when we are dealing with bureaucracy and have to fill out excessive paperwork or in a traffic jam, it's easy to feel precious moments of our lives are being stolen. And yet, by putting frustration with what is ahead of simply being present with what is, it is we who are stealing precious moments from our lives, not the paperwork nor the traffic. So I'm going to say it one more time. Nothing is a distraction from your life or keeping you from your life. It is all your life, moment to precious moment.
I love that.
Me too. That's one you can be kind of exploring the truth of for your whole life.
Yeah.
Moment by precious moment.
Yeah. To me, that seems like such a teaching of the plants too, that I know you're so connected with. And I'm curious, in your experience, how do the plants really help us come into presence?
Ah, well, speaking as a person who definitely had a lot of work to do to become present in my body, you know, I was, even from the littlest personness, I was more in my head and more in spirit than in my embodied existence. It took me a long time to even realize, as an herbalist and a gardener, how I wasn't in my body, how much I didn't see, how much I just kind of did things and then saw them. So the plants really, and now when I see how I garden or how I gather, I mean, it's so different. I feel so different because of that invitation to presence. And I find that it's how I continually learn and also how I teach, especially students like apprentices who work with me over time. The call to presence from the plants, especially if you're harvesting them, is so many times that we have the opportunity to become present to them again. You know, the first is when we're looking for them, right? And we want to hear the call. Where are you, elder? Where are you, you know, mullein, whomever it is? And then when we're going to connect with them, right, to harvest in a respectful way, even if it's in the garden as opposed to wildcrafting, right? But we stop and we breathe with the plant. We establish a connectedness. Perhaps we make an offering to the plant, right? And so I have to be there to say, here's a gift for you, or may I harvest you? So that's that. Again, you get called into presence if you're listening for the answer, right? And it's very important that people realize it's not an academic exercise to ask a plant for permission. It's a real question. You know, just like you might go up to somebody's house, and if you've stopped in uninvited, you know, and you say, is this a good time for me to pop in for a cup of tea? You have to be open to if they say, actually, no, you know, I was about to, you know, do this phone call, or I'm cooking, or whatever it is, right? So it's that invitation to presence. That's one part of it. Another is I love to feel where the plant wants to be harvested. So think of it like in your kitchen, you have your asparagus spear, right? That has a particular place it wants to be cracked. And it's very obvious, right? What I found is if I ask the plant for medicine, but invite the plant to breathe its essence into itself below where I'm harvesting, the plant just gives itself to me. Like even if it's branches of a black birch or a willow or, you know, have you, it's remarkable. And I almost use it like a personal training for myself, because when my mind wanders, the difference I feel is instant. It's like where the tree or the plant was going, here, Robin, here, receive this. We're so happy to give this. And all of a sudden there'll be a resistance. And I'll realize that I left presence. And I'm not saying I have to be perfect or anybody has to be perfect. That's, you know, an impossible and really undesirable aim. For me anyway, I think a much more desirable aim is to be authentic. And so the practice of being present is something that is literally a practice that we come back to again and again. And another way to answer that too, just think about it, is enjoying all the phases of the plant. Like enjoying when the plant is dying down to the earth, like even right now, the clematis. I was noticing just yesterday about like the clematis seeds that, you know, the flowers are so beautiful when they're blooming, but the flower seeds are like these furry magic creatures, right? And so again, all the phases, even when the plants are, you know, browning, going to seed, going back to the earth, I think they've taught me about being more in tune and attuned with these ongoing cycles of transformation, being present to the seasons, not resisting the cold or the dark or the, you know, or aging, being more comfortable with, you know, eldering and so forth. So yeah, the plants definitely offer us a lot of teachings on presence. And like any offering, you know, it's up to us to actually receive it, right? Like all the wisdom in the world can be here, but if we don't choose to open ourselves to it, and then it's just flies right over your head, and you know, it's like, oh, well, I'll just be happy with them next year when they flower again. And then we miss an awful lot.
Yes, absolutely. I love that you, well, first of all, the incredible deep respect that you have with the plants, and that aspect you were just speaking to about the embodiment, that, like you said, we could have all the wisdom in the world, but if we don't actually integrate that into our own being, it's like, what good is that? And so I was curious if you could tell us a bit more about that. Really, how can we embody the teachings of the plants, and really, why would we even want to do that?
Oh, well, how we do it is how we do anything. It starts with an intention. And then the intention needs to be followed with attention, right? So, you know, and again, and this is a time in our culture when that is probably the most radical thing we can do, right? Because everything wants to distract us and we're all very distractible. So, and it seems today all things are leading back to presence because, right, the intention requires you to be present to form what it is you seek, right? And then the attention is necessary to actually practice, embody, integrate. And why you would even want to is a wonderful way to frame that question, because it's so, when I began to learn about plants, but more than that, learn from the plants and begin learning embodying the wisdom of the plants, right? Self-acceptance, knowing who you are, being present in whatever phase of your life you're in, being open to all weathers, you know, the winds, the rain, the sun. I opened myself to joy. And if you ask me if I'd rather live a life in joy or not, then my answer is it's much better living with lots of joy. It's our birthright. I have come to feel that it's our natural state. And we live in a time with so much devastation, so much grieving, so much loss, you know, and then let's even be simpler, so much disrespect, lack of civility, prejudice, sexism, racism, you know, all of the, that's not so simple, but we actually are designed to be able to be in a container and be the container of a joy of living that is large enough for all of those feelings to also be held within that larger container of the joy of life itself. And what I find is that the joy of life, that the plants just seem to radiate, like, I don't know about you and your teaching, but I could guess, people just get happy around the plants, the more they connect with them. I mean, I see it in my students. In fact, yeah, I'm going afield, but I'm going to come back. But like yesterday, one of my apprentices moved us all to tears because she said, I had never hiked by myself and I went hiking. The day came when she did it and she was heading up to the, you know, to the plant that she was seeking. And she said to herself, oh, this is what joy feels like. This is what joy is. And I began to realize, she said, that I had been miserable. And I never would have described myself as a miserable person. But now I know what joy feels like. And I mean, we were obviously right. It was just, I have truth bumps just sharing that with you. And I hope it's okay with her that I'm sharing it. And I know it is. So we need that, because that joy that we can get when we connect with our kin, right? And part of why it's so joyous to get with the plants, to learn from the plants, to embody the love the plants share with us. And I'm not personifying them. It's not like, you know, like you or I love each other. It's different. It's like, it's not so personal, and yet it sparks our personal growth and evolution. That we are meant to be in kinship. I mean, I think this is what your whole podcast is about. So this probably isn't big news to anybody listening, but you know, it may be, you know, the truth is new every time we hear it. You know, we all get fed by the, you know, hearing things put in different ways or how it inspires us personally to like maybe prioritize taking time outside. And if we can't be outside to prioritize connecting with a house plant, right? It still brings the whole energy of Mother Nature into us. And this somehow awakens our hearts And when our hearts are awake, this is also what I started to say before, spiraling back to this, this is what is sustaining so that then I, you, each of us can then do the work outside in the world that we are called to do, right? And none of us can do everything. We would all be correct if we said, I can't possibly do enough. Of course you can't do enough, right? That's why there's everybody else too, right? And so the plants are, yeah. So I think I did some answering of your question.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And I love how you really walk this joy path with the plants, that it is a path of joy, and how you work so deeply with this experience of joy as medicine. And I'd love to hear a little bit more about that. What does that mean in your experience, that joy is medicine?
Yeah. So that phrase, joy is medicine, came to me when I was standing with an oak tree that I dearly love. And it was near the very beginning of the pandemic. And I was started going to this oak a couple miles from where I live for guidance. And one of the things that the oak said in this kind of very deep, you know, big way was, and very slowly, said, joy is medicine. And I have been kind of taking that in ever since, as well as putting it out and sharing it. It's the medicine because it's what I was saying before about we can burn out with all that's going on so easily, or we can fall, you know, because we're so active, or we can really fall into the depths of despair and go numb now because there's so much, right, that is crumbling, even though it needs to crumble, right? But there's also a lot of devastation that we, being human and caring, wish didn't have to happen, right? But yet, we go back to the opening quote, right? Being present to what is, right? It's not a distraction that river is going on fire, right? It's horrifying, but it's our life. It's what's happening. And so the joy is like juice. It's you know, it's the joy gives us the ability to still see the beauty that's also here, the kindness that's also here, the breakthroughs that are also here, you know, the people making peace that is also going on. Because one of the things that I see is that this is the time of everything. Absolutely every reality that anyone can dream is happening. Right. So you might say, like, well, somebody tells you something, and you might think, well, that's crazy. And well, it may be. But nonetheless, we are all co-creators. And so that's a reality too. Right. And that's powerful to think about. Right. That is very powerful to think about. It blows my mind sometimes, like, you know, just walking down the street or somewhere, right, and just thinking each person is creating a universe in every breath they take. There's also something else I wanted to say about joy. I mean, joy literally is medicine. It's healing. It's healing, like, to the cells in our body. It's healing to our hearts in particular, right? It really is. Years ago, I was still living in New York City. An herbalist, the Green Witch of New York. I got labeled then by New York Magazine, and that's stuck ever since, even though I actually live just outside of New York. I'm a quarter mile off the New York border in New Jersey. But I went in some despair to this wonderful elm tree that lives on, for those who know New York City, it lives at Fifth Avenue and 90th Street. Okay, this beautiful, we called her the Queen Elm. And it's at one of the entrances to Central Park that's very popular because it goes right to the reservoir and the joggers. I lived in New York City for a decade, and though it's been quite a while now. But anyway, we went to the Elm, and I think I went by myself that time, and I was like, what can we do? Like, there's just so much to be done. What can we do? And what I heard, I guess I'm doing a lot of talking to trees, aren't I? I'm realizing it's the second talking to tree story I'm telling. I talk to people and listen to people too. Is you know, I heard sing and dance. And I'm like, what? Wait, no, I want to know, you know, should I be cleaning up the ocean or should I be, you know, working for at the local, you know, women's shelter? Or sing and dance, I heard again. And I'm like, whoa, what? And the gist of it over the years as I've explored this is like, if you want to ripple out great energy on the planet, do joyful things in addition to whatever your chosen, like social activism is, right? Or, you know, or your choosing, your activism might be to raise, you know, beautiful children or, you know, but whatever it is, but sing and dance. Because the message I was getting was the earth's going, that's what's healing for me. That's what's beautiful. And not only that, but when you do that, it attracts others. It attracts others. Like, what are you so damn happy about? You know, what is this? What's going on there? Why are you dancing around that tree? And, you know, you look a little nutty, but could I try it? Could I join in? And this is how, you know, and we're many of us, especially when I was younger, we get so self-conscious or people are going to think we're fools or idiots or silly or what have you. And some will, but you get older and you really don't care anymore. But I have found more people become intrigued with what's going on, especially if you're, you know, like that inner light is authentic and it's not like, I'm trying really hard to be joyful. I do want to say one other thing about that, which is this wasn't natural to me. I always, even as a child, right, because I was so thoughtful, I don't mean considerate, I mean I thought a lot. Hopefully I was somewhat considerate, but I mean I thought deeply and I felt deeply. I didn't understand why things were how they were and all of that. I remember kind of coming to the conclusion that depression was like my authentic nature, which was wrong, right? But I believed that. And I remember thinking that because a grandmother of mine, my dad's mother, had been institutionalized. Now, she was institutionalized because, you know, she was inconvenient. Her intelligence was inconvenient. Her free-spiritedness was inconvenient. It was unacceptable. It was so, there was a lot that went down, and that's a whole other story, right? But there was this ancestral lineage of the heartbreak of that, right? Of my dad losing his mother in his lifetime to that, you know, and in those days it was electroshock. It was horrible. And so I just basically thought, somehow I knew that she was kindred to me, but I thought that that was the part of her that I should pick up. And so, you know, right, that's really interesting and so incredibly wrong. But I remember even saying that as a kid, well, I come by depression authentically. And it wasn't. It was a story that didn't serve at all. All of which is to say that, you know, we can throw off overcoats of limiting stories that we maybe have believed very, very much in. But if they are limiting and they're not really based in truth and they're not even really our story, we can shuck them off. And here's again where the plants help, right? The plants help. You're sitting in a field of dandelions and those golden yellow flowers, you know, send their bursts of sunshine into your heart, into your mind, and it alters you. It can alter you. Right? There's just no end to the magic of the plant's healing. to, you know, whether it's from cirrhosis or it's your rage or it's your, you know, your depression, whatever, wherever you are limiting yourself, if you let the plants come into you, whether it's simply that you're drinking them as a tea, right? You don't have to know all of this for the plants to begin healing you multidimensionally. You just start anywhere, right? You start with tea.
I love that. Everything that you just shared about the plants and feeling just so many things about that share about your grandmother. Thank you so much for sharing that. There's so much tenderness in that, grief, all kinds of things. And also in that, a lot of gratitude that we live in a time right now where we can be fully open, free thinkers. We can be practicing plant medicine and not be persecuted for it. We can be plant medicine people out in the open. It's like, wow, that is amazing. I am so grateful for that. And so thank you for offering up that reflection in that experience.
And her name was Rose. And there was a point in my life where I took on her name for my middle name. And it was very healing to my father as well as me.
That's incredible. Especially
beautiful.
On that note, I really have to ask, of course, I feel so connected with the trees and love that you've been talking about the trees here. And also, because you are so connected with Rose in multiple ways, clearly, what do you feel is the medicine of Rose for this time?
Oh, well, Rose is definitely one of the medicines for our time, because Rose, you know, can look at the blossoms, right, and the thorns. Rose is like the plant that helps us fall in love with ourselves, with life itself, like to open the heart. And then we have the thorns that are so, you can't not notice them. Like when it's, think about how they, it's so metaphoric when we think about how they breed out the scent of the rose and the thorns sometimes right at the florist. It's what a metaphor. So here's this often, and I see it this way for sure, this divine feminine goddess energy of this plant, which is, you know, the energy we're calling in now, that is, whether we were calling it or not, it's awakening, right? Gaia herself, the earth herself, awakening to help us heal ourselves, not to heal her, but to heal ourselves. And then there's Rose, this goddess of a plant that has the open of the blossoms and the sharpness, right? The acuity of the thorns, right? Let me get to the point, right? And also the ability to hold space, right? Whether we're holding space for ourselves, right? In whether we're in the U.S. with the current moment of, no, we want to control your bodies, ladies, and all people with uteruses, we're in charge of that, not you. Or we're in other countries where other things are going on. We don't need to delve into each atrocity. So Rose is a plant that helps us, right, like claim the sacred space. And I find that as we claim sacred space for ourselves, as I claim sacred space for myself, I also become more empowered in helping to claim sacred space for the earth. So whatever is, like right now, there's a huge threat in my town. And I know people who have, at this point of working to see this stopped, have given up. And they're just like, well, you know, this hurdle, that hurdle, this, that, blah, blah, blah. Now it's at the point where there's nothing we can do. And I was just kind of sharp, rose sharp, thorny with a friend of mine the other evening saying, nothing has been built yet. It is not here. As long as it is not here yet, it is not over, right? There is, you know, don't. So that brings us to as well the, you know, the powers that be who are benefiting from, you know, domination and destruction and patriarchal, want us in despair, want us benumbed, want us feeling helpless. And so here's the plants. We take them into us because we have a headache, or because, we finally stopped drinking after X, you know, years. And so we're healing our liver, or just, you know, we have a headache, whatever it is, right? And they begin to wake us up, right? They begin to wake something up about the sacred. And I mean, what I found as an herbalist is, if I help somebody get out of pain with a plant's help, everything kind of shifts for them. Because then, even if it starts from a very self-centered place of, oh, well, I need to protect that patch of land because that plant grows there that helps me with my backache or my headache or whatever, you know, my muscle ache. Even if it starts with just the self-centered concern, which is fair, it's just in the nature of things and humanity and evolution that it opens up, right? That concern, like the more well-fed I am, the more easily I am able to be concerned about how well-fed you are. And I find it happens. It's not just me. I see it with my students. It happens really across the board with very few exceptions. You know, and some people just walk away having taken whatever seeds they're ready for, you know, and who knows, you know, when that begins to sprout and grow and their life can become more what they would love for it to be, right? But we all live in this interrelationship. So Rose in relationships has this extraordinary magic that's exactly what we need now of helping us open our heart's ears, if you will, to hear others' perspectives when we disagree with them. I've never said heart's ears before. I think I could come up with a better expression than that. That doesn't quite do it, but you know what I mean? It helps you listen to somebody that you really want to shut down. Like, no, I know what you're going to say, and I don't want to hear that, right? That's a lot of what's going on right now, and it's very, very damaging. Right. Or even let's say it's not like a political battle. People do it to their children. Right. And so then the kid gets that message. You know, what I have to say doesn't count. Right. What I have to say is wrong. I'll just retreat or get furious or whatever. So Rose cools the liver, really helps with maybe misdirected anger, misdirected rage, and opens the heart and helps us claim sacred space and helps us listen to each other. And that's not even getting into all of the physical medicine and the emotional medicine. So yeah, Rose is definitely one of the herbs of now. And not coincidentally, it grows everywhere, right? You have roses in Siberia, you have roses in the tropics, you have roses all across this planet. Not sure about Antarctica. So yeah, Rose, we need nervines now. We absolutely need medicines for our nervous systems. Our nervous systems are like, you know, like an electric circuit that's constantly overloading. So it's very important to let the plants help us soothe our nervous system, strengthen our nervous systems, because we need to be resilient. I mean, I fully know that if we're here because we chose to be here to be part of the solution of now. And that's not something that it's so important not to let go of that. There's a lot of things it's good to let go. That's not one of them. Right? Or if you doubt it briefly, but then come back to the knowing you are here because your gifts are needed. It's just a fact. I think of it like a bicycle wheel. You know, we're each a vital spoke. Right? And we need to turn the wheel.
Yes, definitely time for that. That's for sure.
Passion and connection and And so there's that gift of Rose of knowing how to say no. Like, let's just go back there for one moment, right? It's really up to us to gather enough together to say, stop, enough, line in the sand, you may not cross this anymore. Step by step, but we need to do that. And we can only do it together, right? We can only do it in concert with others. Like, right? I mean, none of us can take on the outside world alone.
Absolutely. That, to me, that speaks so much to what you were sharing earlier about the interrelatedness, our interrelatedness with each other, with the natural world, how we are so connected. And I really feel that so much of your work, what I love about it is this aspect of building bridges, how you are such a bridge builder between the plant realm and the human realm and many different iterations of that. And, you know, you were talking a little bit earlier about when a person comes to you with an ailment and then you connect them with a plant. And I'm curious, how does an herbalist in your experience really help to connect a person with a plant for healing? What is that process like?
Well, the process is different depending upon where the person is at, right? So with somebody who might be extremely overt and say, ah, you know, I can see that something about you reminds me of burdock and or, you know, you need that deep taproot, that burdock. So with some people, you might be very open about the, you know, the kind of metaphorical, multidimensional aspect of the healing you are engaging in with them. And with some people, you know, I think the essence of healing, of a healing relationship of any sort, is to be with people where they are, including especially yourself. Right, because that acceptance is what brings about natural transformation. It's almost like, think about a baby, you know, so like there's the baby just being whoever they are at 2 months or 3 months or whatever. And it's not like they need to be pushed and prodded to grow and change, right? It's natural. But we act sometimes like we have to whip each other and ourselves to get ourselves to shift and transform. And it's the exact opposite for most people. That makes them dig in their heels and resist. So back to your question, if someone asks for help of how to connect with a plant, I start with that most basic of exercises, which never gets old, which is to sit with the plant and breathe together. Right, and send the breath, receive the plant's oxygen that they're exhaling, and you take that into you and you exhale that carbon dioxide that you can't use, that's metabolic waste product for you as a human. And the plant says, ooh, thank you, that's what I love to breathe, right? And so that's a beautiful way to connect with the plant. Or it might be somebody's sort of in the middle of those two places. And I might say, okay, well, what we want to have you do now is you're going to be drinking this oat straw. But instead of just drinking the oat straw, when you drink it, your practice is this, your suggested practice, right, is to carve out 10 minutes, right, and make it a ritual, right? And maybe you have a picture of oat straw, right, that you print out and put on your wall, but you're going to drink the tea and you're going to imagine that oat straw waving in the breeze and that happening in your body, right, as you drink it, and those hip joints getting more flexible and those shoulders loosening up. So any of those are possible ways to connect. Could be somebody puts a sprig of a plant on the table next to their pillow, and they, you know, look, ask for a dream with the plant. So again, all these different, so many possible ways to connect. Or somebody could climb up in a tree or walk barefoot on some plantain or violet, right? Little plants that grow underfoot that are like among the most valuable medicines we have, but that are the common weeds that are just just right in the lawn. And so people ignore them. So we could walk on them. We could sleep with them. You know, another thing I love to do is to tone with a plant. So it might be like, you know, sending out like a, and like imagining bathing the plant with that tone and then feeling the reverberation of the plant, kind of just whatever sense you get from the plant coming back to you and then toning again, back to what the earth said, sing and dance, that's where that's healing for me. Bring joy, bring circles, bring groups, gather together. Yeah, so those are some ways.
Amazing. Yes, the sing and the dance and really to meet people where they're at. Just so, so important.
Yeah. Yeah.
So important. So Robin Rose, I love your work. And so tell us, how can people find out more about you and your work?
Oh, well, they can go to my website, robinrosebennett.com. And the best thing to do is sign up for my newsletter. And right now I have a special gift, which is when people sign up for my newsletter, they get a 5-minute relaxation meditation. And I made it short on purpose so that people actually do it. Right? Speaking of meeting us all where we are, I know all my healing practices for myself, I have to make them doable. I have to make them easy enough, accessible enough that I will do them. And that's me, right? After all these years. So I just wanted to say that. But yeah, sign up, go to my website, and then that gives you the link to all the other stuff, the YouTube, the Instagram, the books, and a million interviews like this and articles. Yeah, that's the best way to, and the newsletter, just to say this, isn't only like, oh, this class is coming up in that class, not that that's a bad thing, but I always endeavor to, you know, put in, you know, rituals, recipes, good info and inspiration.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much for joining us today. Just such a joy to connect again, and so grateful for you and your work in the world. Thank you.
The time has just flown, Sarah. It's just flown. So, and thank you for your work in the world. You know, you're doing so beautifully, such an amazing gifts you bring.
Well, thank you.
You're welcome. And I just took the liberty of opening, doing a little Moments Bibliomancy for you. I was going to do it when the podcast ended, but I just decided your listeners would probably love to hear what I pulled for you. And so what I pulled for Miss Sarah Artemisia is this: flowers encourage bright spirits. Wildflowers in a meadow or cut flowers in a vase on your kitchen table brighten the immediate atmosphere. When your eye lights on a flower, your spirit smiles.
That is so true. Yes, yes, absolutely. Feel that with the flowers. Thank you so much for sharing that.
You're welcome. So make sure you put some flowers around you.
Oh, thank you. And thanks so much for listening and joining us today on the Plant Spirit Podcast. I hope you enjoyed it, and please follow to subscribe, leave a review, and look forward to seeing you on the next episode.